The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Warning, these motherfuckers are going to make us use profanity again this week.
This week's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by Mint Mobile and by the extraordinarily low life expectancy of an unhealthy 79-year-old. The extraordinarily low life expectancy of an unhealthy 79-year-old. It's all that's keeping any of us going at this point. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
Hi, y'all. This is Julia Memphis. And after seeing four very large, in fatigues, men carrying very large automatic rifles outside of my neighborhood grocery store, seems a bit excessive, I can assure you that we did in fact evolve from filthy monkey men.
It's January 8th.
And it's Bubble Bath Day.
Awesome. You might not get clean at all, but the luxury is worth it.
Yep.
Right?
So it's the stickiness, the greasiness
Me
afterwards.
Soup.
I'm no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And from Woodrow, Wilson's, New Jersey, Ann Arbor, Michigan,
guy.
Away across Georgia, this is The Scathing Atheist.
On this week's episode, America picks up an extra president.
Podcastiverse character, Scottish abortion clinic lady, gets conjured by the universe to murder satire again.
And Don Ford will be here because apparently he had no better place to be.
But first, the diatribe.
The other day, I'm driving by a church, a phenomenon often shortened in my part of the country to driving, and the sign outside just said, "Yes, even you." That was it. Whole message. I guess there are a couple of different ways that you could read this. I mean, there are infinity ways that you could read it, given how little they've given us to work with, but as a constant consumer of Christian everything, I know exactly what they mean, right? They mean, yes, Jesus loves even you. Yes, God will forgive even your sins. Yes, even you have a room made for you in heaven. This is a constant refrain in the Christian movies that we watch over on GAM. Whenever it's time for the main character to find God, there'll be this moment where, you know, they're told of God's universal forgiveness and they'll have a, "But surely not I, with my plethora of unspeakable sins," kind of moment. And it's always hilarious, right? Because it's usually like a fucking teenager or an old lady or something. So as an audience, you have to go, "Well, what jungle tribe did you genocide in the 70s, lady?" Right? I mean, I know that there are murderers and rapists and shit out there. And I know that there are some people who have managed to do some guilt-laden shit out of, you know, benign neglect or momentary oversights, right? Guy looks down to check his texts and kills a bus full of orphans, whatever. Probably doesn't think himself super deserving of forgiveness. But how ubiquitous is that kind of shit that every third Christian movie has to emphasize that God will forgive even you? I mean, to a certain degree, my immediate takeaway is that I need to up my sin game, right? I've lived far from a saintly life, but I've never done anything remotely so bad that I'd be surprised that a guy who once drowned all the bunnies because he was mad the humans were doing butt stuff could forgive it. So part of me thought I should like fucking sin better, right? I must be really missing out on all the good shit everybody else is doing. But of course, the reality of it goes in the other direction, doesn't it? I think myself forgivable because my compunction is based on a comparison between myself and like other people or a reasonable moral standard. And by those measures, I'm doing pretty good. But their compunction is based on magical bullshit. They're comparing themselves to a perfect moral being or a moral standard that starts with unforgivably sinful at birth. Like, there's a rhetorical trick that street preachers are taught, right? We see this all the time with Ray Comfort videos, and we've talked about it quite a bit on the show. But it's this bit where they'll start asking you, like, you know, have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? And have you ever looked at a person with lust in your heart? And the idea is that, of course, everybody says yes to all three of these things because, of fucking course, everybody's done all that shit. And then they're like, well, don't you think you need forgiveness, you lying, blaspheming adulterer? Because looking at people with lust equals adultery, according to Jesus. But of course, what they've actually demonstrated here isn't that you're a sinner that needs to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's that their moral standard is nonsensical. If you have a moral standard that everybody fails, it's useless, right? Like, if everybody gets a fucking F, the problem is with the test, not the students. And that's how you get to the point where the sign outside a church can get away with just saying yes, dot, 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 even you. Because the point of emphasizing universal forgiveness isn't to bypass your dark, sinful past and give you comfort. It's to bypass your comfort and give you a dark, sinful past. It's to diminish you so much that you start feeling unworthy of what they're offering, even if what they're offering is nothing. So they spin up sins out of thoughts, right? Every thought in your head is being monitored for theological purity, and even your doubts are grave sins. Fantasizing, coveting, desiring, all this instinctual shit that you can't avoid without a lobotomy becomes a sin. Harmless shit like watching porn and masturbating. Matters of taste like enjoying the wrong kind of music or movies. Innate characteristics like sexual preference or gender identity. These all become sins because you have to be undeserving for their whole fucking thing to work. If they had to limit themselves to people who actually were undeserving of forgiveness, they'd have to settle for a lot smaller of an audience. But here's the reality of it, okay? If there was a heaven, it would be lucky to have you. You're not some wretched, worthless burden. You're a pretty cool person. You've been mostly good, even when it would have been in your short-term advantage to be bad. You've given when you didn't have to. You've been nice when you really wanted to be mean. You've been patient with people who weren't patient with you. You've added a beautiful and unique thread to society's tapestry, and we're all better off for it. And if everybody figured that shit out, a lot of churches would have to change the sign outside to just read "closed."
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast and bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight are the red and yellow to my green, Heath Enright and Eli Bosnick. Fellas, are you ready to go?
Red team, go. Let's do it.
All right. Well, it looks like Eli's yielding his chance to interject, so we can move straight ahead to the word from this week's sponsor, Mint Mobile.
I was yellow.
Eli, I was just standing at a yellow light. Just
yeah,
like,
thank you.
Not
yeah.
sure what to do.
I get it.
No, if it was how I treat yellow lights, I would have interrupted. Ooh, what about the fountain at the mall with the,
nah,
the coins?
Now we're still banned about the Cinnabon thing.
Oh, God. Yeah, I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
that was a lot.
Hey, fellas. What you doing?
Oh, hey, Noah. Heath and I are just trying to figure out how to scrounge up some extra cash post the holidays.
Yeah, the big spending is over, but we're still majorly hurting.
Well, if you guys want to save some money, why don't you just try switching to Mint Mobile?
What's Mint Mobile?
Nice.
Mint Mobile is here to help you cut back on overspending on wireless this January with 50% off unlimited premium wireless. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts.
But have you actually used it?
I sure have. We switched to Mint Mobile when they became a sponsor. Now I get the same great service for a fraction of the price I was paying before. That's why I, Noah Illusions, personally endorse Mint Mobile.
All right, Noah, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
This January, quit overspending on wireless with 50% off unlimited premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month at mintmobile.com/scathing. That's mintmobile.com/scathing. Limited time offer, upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months plan required, $15 a month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra, initial plan terms only. Over 50 gigs may slow when the network is busy. Capable device required, availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
All right, Noah, thanks.
Hey, I'm heading to the mall. You guys need anything?
Oh, would you grab us some Cinnabon?
I'm not comfortable with that, man. They know that I know you guys.
Come on.
I said no.
She's fine.
She's not fine, dude. Have you seen her?
She's fine.
And now, back to the headlines. In our lead story tonight, after kidnapping Hispanic babies got him reelected, you can see why Trump would want to graduate to kidnapping Hispanic adults. So at 2 a.m. local time in Venezuela, U.S. forces blew a bunch of shit up, killed, by one report, more than 80 people from a country we're not at war with. So murder, I think, is the term there.
Yep.
And abducted its president, an action which loses whatever thin tendril of potential legitimacy you might theoretically be able to assign to it when I add, and his wife is where we are as a country.
That's the Donroe Doctrine. Our touching can't get mad. That's
really?
Cool.
Yep.
They wouldn't stop resisting our bombs, so we had to shoot bombs at them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, look, guys, I don't have the political science experience to have written Pink Pony Club, but I think maybe Kamala Harris might not have kidnapped the president of Venezuela.
Both the same. Same.
You are, punching down at a 27-year-old millionaire, Eli. Right. How dare you?
That's what it is.
Now, to be clear, Nicolas Maduro is a bad guy, right? He's all the various kinds of evil that Trump aspires to as a national leader. And if the new rule was that as soon as a leader got shitty enough, somebody blew some shit up and then came in and got him, I would be down for that, right?
Yeah, us first, please. I'll exactly. be the stuff you blow up.
Absolutely. But selectively allowing Donald fucking Trump to kidnap people based on made-up charges that they run a narco-terrorism gang that the Department of Justice now admits doesn't exist is a bad idea, regardless of how shitty that person is. And when an ethical fact is as transparently true as that, you can bet your ass that plenty of Christian leaders got it wrong.
Yeah, I'm just going to say right now that if "but his people are celebrating in the streets" is the excuse the right are going to use to illegally remove someone from power, I got some terrible news for you about Trump, guys.
Right.
He coughs and champagne corks just go flying all over this nation.
Is that a tumor? Is that a tumor? That's just his hand just looks like that.
No, I take 8 aspirins a second.
I want very thin blood. All right.
Oh, wait, one of my tumors is shaped like a mushroom cork.
Huh? Oh, well, okay.
Damn it.
So we'll start with evangelical Nepo baby Franklin Graham, who praised the operation and filleted the president as, quote, "someone who does what he says he's going to do," end quote. Like when he promised to lower grocery prices, end the war in Ukraine, build the wall, release the Epstein files, protect Medicare, release his tax returns, and not start forever wars, right? Like that. Though, like, in his defense, it is hard to do what you say when the things that you say so often lack any informational content whatsoever. How, for example, does one cove Fifi, right?
What part of speech is that? It wasn't even
exactly. Yes. But Graham says he does what he says, I guess. He doesn't say it to fucking Congress, clearly, but maybe he told Frankie he was going to do it.
Yeah. Also, the entire concept is insane. Like if I shit on Franklin Graham's desk, he's cool if I announce it first and say I was going
to
do it?
Yeah, right. This is not even a good quality to have that he doesn't have.
I just love the idea that Franklin Graham was like sweating over his desk for 2 days for this announcement. And the best he came up with was he verbs.
Yeah, right.
Okay. In fairness, my shit was distracting, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it's hard to. His desk.
So, and of course, Tennessee pastor and man so full of sugary coffee drinks, bees nest in his asshole, Greg Locke, praised the operation because he likes stuff with guns and explosions. He tweeted that the abduction of Maduro would lead to, quote, "the biggest revival Latin America has ever experienced," end quote, adding, quote, "fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji," end quote.
Oh, so, now it makes sense.
Right, yeah. So, you know, like finally that fucking 92% Christian nation can learn about Jesus. Or hell, it might even spread to that whole 90% Christian continent. Only time will tell.
Okay, I'm like pretty sure Greg Locke heard that Venezuela has a bunch of oil and he thinks they're like right next to Saudi Arabia and
a bunch
of Islam going on.
I think he's just hoping we liberate their sugar cane so he can get his insane Dunkin' order going for another couple of months.
Yeah, right, before the shortage sets in. Yeah. Now, to be fair, a bunch of Christian leaders have condemned the actions, right? Even the Pope offered a very mealy-mouthed denouncement lit that called for respect for international law.
Hey, hey, careful, Bobby, glass houses and all.
Yeah, right, yeah. But even some of his MAGA base has turned against him on this, not because he's rampaging around the world, kidnapping people whose countries have resources he wants, but because they want him rampaging in America, damn it. Either way, I blame all the people who said 2026 couldn't be worse.
And in Mamdanybrook news, Zoran Mamdani, Anna?
What are the guys talking about? It's the newest, the greatest Christian freakout.
That's right. There's a Muslim guy in New York City and he did a thing and it's led to quite the Donnybrook.
What?
The fracas, the rhubarb, the set to.
Oh.
Christians are freaking out. I don't know why I did old time fight.
Can't use those in the ads now but when Noah asks us what we're
Mom
doing.
Donnybrook. Okay. Christians are freaking out.
Take it three.
After Mamdani took his oath of office as New York City mayor while his hand was touching the wrong magical book.
Oh, fuck.
Of course, that book was a Quran instead of a Bible. And he actually had two copies of the Quran, so it's double the freak out.
Oh, I'm twice as pious as you guys are. I have two of my... I want that to like this to like be an exponential holy book bidding war kind of thing, right? So now you got like Republicans climbing a ladder to reach the top of their Bible stack. That'd be good. I like it.
Okay, so just to be clear, there's no rule in the Constitution of the United States, nor anything in the laws of New York, about using the Bible there. You can pick any book you want, or you can just say the oath with no physical assistance from literary osmosis into your hand while you're doing it. Examples from history include Teddy Roosevelt using nothing, a NASA administrator using pale blue dot, that was cool, and California Representative Robert Garcia using a collection of different objects, including a copy of Superman number one that was on loan from the Library of Congress.
I bet a lot of them didn't know that was an option. I feel like if I ever got elected, I would use a copy of Heather Has Two Mommies.
Ooh, nice. I would also use the Quran.
Oh, Jews.
Right, exactly, yeah. I like my shout outs.
Well, regardless, regardless of the rules being very clear, a bunch of Christian right idiots got mad. Tommy Tuberville of Alabama decided to weigh in about Mamdani last week. Tuberville posted a screenshot of a New York Times article about the Qurans during the oath, along with the insanely panicky comment, "The enemy is inside the gates."
What? I mean, that's true, but it should be followed up with something like, "And I'm ready to party," or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah, exactly. Now, I want to be clear, the Quran is a terrible, bigoted, evil book full of sexism, racism, and explicit instructions to kill people who aren't Muslim. I would prefer Mamdani not pretend he doesn't know that, which he does, but when a Christian mayor swears in on the Bible, we don't, like, freak out and ask if their Amalekite citizens should be afraid for their lives. And based on the track record of Christians, that is a much more reasonable question than whether the democratic socialist whose plans are mostly bike lanes is here to bring us Sharia law.
Yeah. Right.
Also, we should ask about the worried Amalekite citizens when people use the Bible.
Honestly, yep, yeah, really. I fear for our Amalekites.
Yeah. And the screenshot, by the way, shows that Tommy Tuberville is paying the New York Times as a subscriber because there's like a share button and stuff. One other fun freak out came from the Christian Post.
If you don't want to share with me, tell me.
The Christian Post wrote an article entitled "Mamdani's Inauguration Speech Rife with Radical Rhetoric, Troubling Symbolism." And the whole thing was just quoting perfectly normal remarks that any Christian politician might say, but they were hoping people would read them in a scary tone with piano stings because a Muslim guy said it. The very first allegedly scary quote was when Mamdani said, "We will govern without shame and insecurity, making no apology for what we believe."
Well, I mean, to be fair, they do love shame and insecurity. That's kind of their whole thing.
Yeah.
The article also complained that Mamdani is calling for, quote, "a new era of democratic socialist leadership for the largest city in the nation, the same nation that defeated the Soviets, by the way." And actual quote. And here's my favorite part. The article finishes by being outraged that Bernie Sanders was there too. And then we got the following.
Doesn't he know? Yeah.
We got the following. This was its own paragraph. Quote, Mamdani also sworn in at midnight. Perhaps the hour is late for the city.
It's fine. It already doesn't sleep. It'll be fine.
It feels like Dave wanted to get his in that last sentence, huh? Right? Yeah. Like Dave was like, and we're going to use my hours. And they were like, we'll say it, man.
No, because hour is late. It's like a thing. It's like an idiom. Yeah.
No, the actual reason they did it at midnight was to beat the congestion pricing. How's that going, by the way? They raised that $1 billion they said they would. You commie fucks.
$550 million that's mostly gone to improve public transportation infrastructure. They've made measurable reductions to air pollution. They've
solid.
Increased bus traffic speed by 24% in the city. It's like an unmitigated good. Now
mitigated. Mitigated. $7. I don't want to give them $7. That's my mitigating. Condemn Hamas.
So again, definitely no rule about the book during your oath. But as far as I can tell, you do actually have to say the magic spell, which is fucking stupid. So hopefully we get more people saying it, I don't know, slightly wrong like Obama did, or mumbling something crazy in there to sneak it in and see what happens, to see if the, you know, different magic will do something. Let's get some creativity going forward is what I'm saying during the oaths.
Fuck yeah.
And no more genocide books like the Bible and the Quran. That'd be great.
He didn't know about Superman. He would have done Superman. And in a measly souvenir news, if you visited the Ark Encounter Creationist Museum over the holidays, you came away with a lot of things. Questions about why one broom in a corner is the only explanation they offer for all the animal shit that had to have been on Noah's Ark. Perhaps a dragons are actually dinosaurs tween novel for sale in their bookstore. But you also might have left with measles, as this week the Kentucky Department of Health had to issue a warning of possible exposure by one of their guests.
Okay, one of these times it's going to be milk leg or rickets instead of measles, right?
Yes.
Do you think it'll be more impactful at that point? Like more impactful to the idiots if they have to say like, I got milk leg at the Kentucky Boat Museum.
Now that's a t-shirt.
Yeah, right? To be fair, though, if the perk is working as designed, measles is only the second most dangerous thing your kids are going to come away with, right?
That's fair. That's fair. So first off, I want to thank...
I went to the Kentucky Boat Museum and all I got was this lousy milk leg.
Was this milk leg? Exactly, yeah. So first off, I want to thank the dozens of you who sent this story to scalingnews@gmail.com. You all knew and understood that this story needed to be on our program, but many of you sent significantly better puns than I could ever come up with. So gentlemen, with your permission, I'd like to shout out a couple of those now rather than just stealing the credit now that we know the story.
Please proceed.
Thank you. So, shout out to Will for Pop Goes the Measles.
Nice.
Big ups to Nick for Parks of Being Unvaccinated.
Oh, that's nice. Good.
And finally, CT came up with In Arc Exposure News.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right? Anyways, thank you all for doing my job so much better than I ever could.
Also, these idiots are not getting prosecuted for negligent plaguing, which they should be. So maybe herd impunity news.
Something unvaccinated. It's not fair to have to go after Heath in a fucking pun thing.
I know. I had a hive mind and I still lost.
Vax don't care about your feelings.
Oh, see? All right, so to the story. According to a Facebook post by the Kentucky Department of Health, which, to be fair, is the best way to reach the unvaccinated, quote, health officials have identified potential measles exposures in Grant County, Kentucky. An unvaccinated out-of-state traveler stayed at the Holiday Inn and Suites in Dry Ridge from December 28th to 30th, 2025, and visited the Ark Encounter on December 29th, 2025.
That's the saddest fucking holiday trip. God right? damn it.
Measles is a highly contagious respiratory virus that can cause serious health complications, especially in young children. Vaccination is the best protection against measles. Immunization against measles comes through the measles, mumps, and rubella MMR vaccine. End quote. Not adding, you fucks.
So, okay. All right. So if you look back over that thing, every piece of information that they gave in that notice matters, except the fact that that person wasn't even from around here, right? Like, who cares if it's out of state? That exactly. was clearly like a, and it ain't just because we're Kentucky defense mechanism sneaking yeah. into their notice.
Yeah. So here's the thing. This is bad in a normal building filled with sane people, right? Mm-hmm. But in the museum dedicated to the childishly impossible story that proves your religion isn't true, you're going to get a lot more anti-vaxxers. So, yeah,
and based on the videos I've seen, there's like jazz scooters everywhere. It's a whole bunch of older people right, who are yeah. definitely,
yeah, yeah.
you know, at risk here.
Yeah.
So after confirming that the person doing the measles exposing was, in fact, a child, the Ark Park released a statement saying, quote, "For guests who gave us their email addresses when they purchased their tickets for that day, we shared in an email message coordinated with health officials that if visitors were fully vaccinated, no action would be needed." End quote.
So, Dave, you're fine. Everyone else might have a pretty bad disease.
You're right. Yes, yeah. So as long as everybody voluntarily left us their contact information and checks their inboxes daily and double checks their promotion folders and made sure we didn't go to spam and actually pays attention to anything anybody ever said in a fucking email for the first time ever, we should be fine.
It's fine. The conch has been blown.
Well, yeah.
It continues, "For unvaccinated guests in attendance on Monday, the email requested that they promptly contact their personal physician for guidance."
Oh, what? Right. No, because personal physicians are things that unvaccinated Ark Park attendees from Kentucky all have. Yeah, no, no doubt.
"I say, Weatherby, summon the family doctor." "As I was perusing the Tween Dinosaurs or Dragons book, I may have been exposed to a bit of the witch's brew. Tell them to meet me in the sunroom." Indicating that measles can be contagious before symptoms occur. That same information was shared with ARC staff. 775 emails were sent to guest families who visited on Monday. "We pray that the child affected is doing well. We have not heard reports that other guests have contracted measles."
Right, but they have. Clearly, some of them have. They just didn't want to make a public report about how their natural immunity CrossFit regimen that they were doing didn't work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Because that's nothing.
Last little reminder about this story. Just got to throw that out there. Measles was declared eliminated in the United States in the year 2000.
Yep.
Before unvaccinated idiots like Ark Park attendees and RFK Jr. brought it back. And at the end of last year, the United States had more than 2,000 measles cases. But hey, just because the Ark isn't real doesn't mean you can't recreate the plagues from the Old Testament.
There you go.
Right? So, you know.
Can we do something with polio? I don't know. I don't want it back, but I sell it for some people.
Well, we're gonna. And with the terrifying reminder that we all probably need to get booster shots for old-timey ailments and shit, we're going to take a quick break and hand things over to my lovely wife, Lucinda.
A man wrote the Bible.
A whore is what she was.
If it's a legitimate rape,
it makes her a slut, right?
Cooking can be fun.
Hey, I'm proud of a man.
This week in misogyny.
Okay, so to be honest, I kind of wanted to do a 2025 wrap-up. This year in misogyny thing, but Noah informed me that the show can't be 2 hours long. So we're just going to go with the usual bullshit. But first, let me just say that if I was doing a This Year in Misogyny segment, the theme would be a lot of Republican women finding out that the face-eating leopards do, in fact, eat faces. Whether it's Marjorie Taylor Greene realizing that it kind of sucks when the president of the country encourages people to make threats against you, or Lauren Boebert realizing that the child raping was coming from inside the house, or every single woman in Congress realizing that Mike Johnson is exactly the sexist that he presents himself as. The violin that I'm playing for them is so fucking small, photons can't even bounce off of it. But that's last year, and this is a brand new calendar, right? We're moving boldly into the future after all, slowly bending towards freedom and all that. So maybe the inevitable march of technological progress can help to right the wrongs of sexism, huh? Just as soon as it's done digitally undressing us with AI, that is. Yep, first fucking news item that comes across my desk when I log back into this shit in 2026 is a story about Grok. That is Kmart Twitter's AI bot, being used to show users what non-consenting women would look like naked. And yes, that includes minors. This has been uncovered by investigators in a bunch of countries. Not ours, though. So weird that our governmental apparatus would miss a disgustingly unethical thing Elon Musk was doing, huh? So we had to learn about this shit from Australia and India, where they're investigating multiple reports of sexualized images from the service. This includes at least one where it put a 12-year-old girl in a skimpy bikini. Now, most of the companies making these AI bots have put in at least enough guardrails to keep them from doing shit like this. But Elon Musk has made a big fucking deal about how his AI won't be woke about shit like, I don't know, sexualizing minors. Grok will tell it like it really is. Unless you ask it to compare Elon's physical prowess to LeBron James, that is. So this kind of shit was and remains inevitable. I also want to thank our favorite listener, April Puff, for sending me a terrifying story out of Kentucky where a woman is being charged with fetal homicide after medicinally inducing an abortion, as well as abuse of a corpse for disposing of the remains. Now, the news articles I've seen are unclear on how far along she was in her pregnancy when this happened, but I want to be clear that if anything bad happened, it's the fault of the motherfuckers who made it illegal to get an abortion at any point in a pregnancy in their stupid fucking state. All that being said, I do have one tiny kernel of good news to report on that front, thanks to Logan, who was the first person to send it to us at scathingnews@gmail.com. In Wyoming, the state Supreme Court actually struck down a rule that sought to ban abortion pills. And it was a 4-1 decision, because even in the conservative hellhole of Wyoming, any real body of judges taking their fucking job seriously can tell this is how rights work. Which is why it'll almost certainly fail on appeal if it gets to the Supreme Court. Sorry, in my line of work, it's almost impossible not to undercut your good news with realism. So quick before I shit on your tiny glimmer of hope any further, I'll wrap things up and hand you back over to Noah, Heath, and Eli.
Thank you, Lucinda. Next up in headlines, in Portrait of an Artist as a Young Son of Man news.
Oh, nice.
Donald Trump spent New Year's Eve holding an old-timey Christian revival in the form of a celebrity gala costing $1,450 a ticket, just like God intended. And the big centerpiece of the evening was an auction for a painting of Jesus Christ himself that sold for $2.75 million.
Listener, Heath has included a picture of this painting in our notes, and there are no words for how poorly made it is. His beard is growing out of his face like Darth Maul's horn.
We would make fun of how bad it was one way or the other, right? So you're probably imagining that we're overstating it, but Jesus is dipping char in this picture. Yep. Or he was stung by bees, and he has an allergy, but not like an I'm going to die allergy, but like a everybody's going to make fun of me for the next 2 days allergy.
Yeah, it looks like he's about to spit. For sure. Yeah.
Or explode. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the bad guys in Scanners.
Okay. So you're probably wondering, who's the old master who created this amazing work of art? That would be some lady named Vanessa from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Mm.
Trump's a big fan because she painted him a few times. And if you act now, you can get 25% off all standard prints during her big New Year sale on her site.
Oh, sure.
According to Trump, quote, "To me, she's one of the greatest. She's a speed painter."
Yeah, no, because taking your time fucks art all up. I've always said that.
And she's a great painter. Mm. But I think she's one of the great living artists. End exact quote.
I mean, one of.
She made the Jesus painting over the course of 10 minutes during the event.
Yeah, I could tell.
Right, no, it's like, as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, okay, now this makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so if you're picturing Donald Trump playing the role of auctioneer, trying his best to say increasing numbers quickly and failing,
yes,
you'd be picturing pretty much exactly what happened. He's actually genuinely he was the auctioneer. He also gave instructions to Vanessa and marveled at this idea of painting or painting or whatever it's called. Trump opened the bidding and he said, quote, "Draw something really special. I don't know what it is, but draw something really special. I don't know how you do that.
I can't even draw a clock. They keep asking me to do it. And I can't
or
get the
hands
on it.
Hurricane path projection. It's really tough. It's tougher than it looks."
And you're also probably wondering, where did all that money go? Well, the proceeds from the dinner and the auction went to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Okay. And also the local sheriff's department near Mar-a-Lago. That would be the sheriff's department of Palm Beach, Florida.
Uh-huh.
The one that did a big investigation on Jeffrey Epstein and has all that information from that investigation. Weird. And just in case anyone's wondering about Trump's New Year's resolution, you were wondering about that, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He said his resolution is peace on earth. He resolved for that 3 days before Operation Absolute Resolve.
Yeah.
That's the Venezuela one, to be clear.
Well, I mean, look, nobody keeps their New Year's resolution. can't blame them for that.
And in, were they even listening to Eli's story about the fucking Ark Park news? If you live in the D.C. area and you should happen to see a dead whale on the side of the road with a box over the top of it held up by a stick, don't fuck with it, okay? We're doing a thing. And in a related story, RFK Jr. further endangered all the people in the country with internal organs this week by reducing the recommended vaccine schedule for children.
And external organs.
Yeah, well, those two. And in an effort to justify the move, which every legitimate authority on medicine agrees will unnecessarily put lives at risk for no gain whatsoever, he said that the reduced schedule will help to restore people's faith in vaccines.
What?
Because if there's one thing that's important to RFK Jr., it's that people have sufficient faith in vaccines.
Yeah, no, this actually helps. So my anti-vaxxer idiot friend, he was in his high chair, he threw his vaccine on the floor. But then I picked it up and I was like, okay, what if you just have one bite, huh? Mm-hmm. Just try it, one bite.
Yeah.
And I did the airplane and it worked like a charm. So yeah, you never know.
Yeah, the thing you have to remember is that the average American adult has the IQ of an 11-year-old. So, you know, they hate shots, right?
Yes.
Ow.
Right. So the changes, which are based on absolutely no scientific input whatsoever and were ramrodded through a process that's already been denuded of all of its guardrails, narrow the recommendations for shots against hepatitis A and B, as well as meningococcal disease. Previously, those were just part of the standard schedule, but now they're only recommended for kids at high risk for the diseases.
So kids then.
Well, mostly kids, yeah. Well, so because until this point, the hepatitis didn't even have a fucking fighting chance, and that's not fair. They're also, they're now recommending that vaccination against flu, COVID, and retrovirus be based on, quote, shared clinical decision-making, end quote, which means you'll now have to consult with a fucking doctor to get them, even though every goddamn doctor would say, yes, get them.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'd be worried if there was like an extra deadly outbreak of the flu right now.
Yeah, but absent that,
I don't know, guys. Feels like this might be working itself out in payroll.
Well, as long as we ignore people with legitimate vaccine allergies and, you know, the immunocompromised and children under two, et cetera, sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Unmitigated success, just like I said.
Now, what you'll hear from the maggot coworkers on this is that we're just going to now have the same vaccine schedule as Denmark. Right? And it seems to be working fine over there. But
They're big fans of Denmark?
Yeah. There's another thing that's healthcare related that Denmark has that the U.S. doesn't have, and it's called fucking healthcare. Right? Danish kids have access to universal healthcare, and pregnant people there have access to universal prenatal care. And they have free screenings for all the shit that we're talking about vaccinating is. Danish kids are just fucking healthier than American kids, so they don't need to be vaccinated against as much shit. So let your coworker know that we would be more than willing to trade this vaccine schedule for universal fucking healthcare if that's the offer.
Yeah. Denmark, it's also half the size of Maine and has different endemic disease histories.
Yes.
And the Greenland part, it's going to work itself out in payroll.
Yeah, I wondered where Stephen Miller was going with all those blankets.
Oh,
and
no.
Now it's all making sense to me.
Now, so the other defense, though, is that the shots are still there and parents can still opt into them and insurance companies will still cover them without copay. Now, that's fucking rich coming from an administration that just tripled the cost of healthcare for a lot of people, right? But it also ignores the fact that now parents will have to consult with a doctor to get an approval for the vaccines that they otherwise could just fucking get. So there is an increase in cost and overall burden for them.
But luckily, it's super easy to get in touch with a doctor so they can say, mm-hmm. yes, duh, and hand me a bill.
Right.
I scheduled an appointment in October, and it's coming right up in June when...
Yep.
When the flu is notoriously rampant, so that'll be good.
No, Heath, you got to log into the My Chart Appointments app. No, that's the Englewood Health My Chart app. You got to be.
Oh,
you'll be seen within decades. Okay,
yes,
decades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they're in network. Now, Trump, of course, applauded this stupid fucking move. This whole rescheduling effort started with a social media post where all the best public health policies come from him. And he followed up the announcement with a message about how he'd like to see Americans even sicker. Now he's calling for the schedule to be further reduced to separate the MMR vaccine into three separate shots, presumably because he's okay with kids having measles, mumps, or rubella, you know, but not all three. I don't know which yet, right? No indication.
Oh, he's not fooling me. He's just trying to cut off the fact checkers at the source. I know what you're doing. And finally tonight, in Freedom of Screech news, a 75-year-old woman has been criminally charged in Glasgow for standing near a hospital with a sign inviting people to chat.
Nope.
Is how the story on the Christian Post about a lady who repeatedly violated Abortion Services Safe Access Zone Scotland Act. And you know what that means?
What are the guys talking about? It's the newest, the greatest Christian freakout.
That's right. Christians are freaking out because Scotland is stifling this woman's free speech by not letting her protest abortion 20 feet closer than she otherwise yep. would. Mm-hmm. And, that's pretty much the Holocaust and slavery combined. Or as the old lady put it, quote, I should not be treated as a criminal for inviting people to chat with me, lending a listening ear.
You should, though. You should be treated as a criminal. Mm-hmm. Even granting your nonsense description, you crimed and we're treating you like a criminal. That's what's happening.
Well, yeah, right. And we're not treating you like a criminal for inviting people to chat with you. We're treating you like a criminal for breaking the law and being a criminal, right? That's mm-hmm. the distinction.
She concluded, I simply stood in love and compassion,
doesn't matter how you
offering
stood.
Consensual conversation to anyone who wanted to engage. Nobody should be criminalized just for offering a chat.
Again, it's insane. Even in your own wording, lady, it wasn't consensual when you offered. It, like, if I'm walking into my doctor's office and you yell at me, hello, murderer. Would you like to have a consensual conversation right now? That wasn't consent. That, like, if you ask me to have sex by starting to have sex with me,
oh, Jesus.
You're a rapist.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, if you're wondering who her legal defense is, I will give you zero guesses. That's right. It's SPLC-listed hate group, the Alliance Defending yep. Freedom, mm-hmm. who have brought her case to the national stage, earning her shout-outs from none other than Vice President and Terror of the Ottoman Empire, J.D. Vance, who called the buffer laws that she violated a threat to free expression in Munich last week.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we're a little biased here on The Scathing Atheist, which is why we're pleased to bring in guest commentator Scottish Abortion Clinic Lady. Scottish Abortion Clinic Lady, welcome to the show.
Hoot, man, it's great to be here, Noah. Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so first of all, let's address the elephant in the room. Are you worried that our longtime listeners will confuse you for podcast-averse resident Irish Abortion Clinic Lady?
Ach, no chance, no illusions. We're as different can be.
Okay. All right, great. So can you tell us a little bit about what's going on here from your side of things?
Ah, indeed, a candle illusion. See, there I was just hanging around the hospital, hoping for a chat.
Uh-huh. A chat? About what?
Anything?
Uh-huh.
Maybe Stranger Things? What people are saying this season isn't any good. Chat about that.
Right.
Extra episode. People say that.
Yeah, no, yeah, happen. Yeah, they do say that. And what do you say to the people who say that you explicitly wanted to talk to people about the fact that you thought the often life-saving healthcare that they were getting was murder?
Ah, I mean, it's possible that might have come up. It comes up in a lot of chats.
Does it?
Hey.
Okay. And what do you say to people who mention that you just could just like offer a chat not right in front of where people are getting abortions?
But I want a chat.
In front of the abortions?
In front of the abortions, I.
Yeah, because you want to tell people that they're killing babies?
I do, I.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Hafton Begora.
That's an Irish thing. And with yet another podcast character to add to the codex, we can wrap the headlines for the night. Heath, Eli, thanks as always.
Jumanji.
And when we come back, we'll get this year's first Don sighting.
These are bagpipes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Argus.
Hey, podcast listener, do you love god-awful movies? Are you looking to see it on April 3rd in San Francisco? Well, then buckle up your butts, because we're pleased to announce the one and only Cara Santa Maria will be joining us on stage. That's right. Cara will be on stage for all the visual shenanigans you know you've been missing. But don't wait. This show has less than 100 tickets left. Get them now at godawfulmovieslive.com. That's godawfulmovieslive.com. God Awful Movies Live on April 3rd in San Francisco, California. Now with 100% more Santa Maria. Guaranteed.
Wait, I thought isekai and lit RPG are the same thing.
No, isekai just means another world. It doesn't have to have like stats and menus and stuff.
I did not know that.
Right? Because you associate it with the...
Yeah.
Hey, fellas. Are you ready for some Bible Peace Theater?
Oh, you mean the part of the show where we act out the Bible so our listeners don't have to read it? We sure are.
Hey, Don, when did you get here?
Oh, Eli put a portal over my toilet seat this morning and...
Got it. So he isekai'd you, did he?
Well, technically he just transported me. Isekai means another world.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Don.
Oh, you're welcome.
So,
Fuck you, Don. You stole my word.
Weird. So anyway, where were we?
Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians.
Seriously? He added a whole nother letter?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, because everyone hated the first one.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty universally agreed that the first epistle gets delivered. Paul gets told in some format to go fuck himself. He writes the Corinthians a no, you go fuck yourself letter, which is lost to time. And then he writes this to try to make up for the go fuck yourself letter.
Got it. So this is sort of like an apology?
Well, kind of, but it's like a shitty apology from someone who's just telling you that they're sorry you misunderstood them rather than that they did anything wrong.
Well, sounds pretty Christian to me.
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
Stupid fucking Christian Corinthians and their stupid super prophets.
Hey, Paul. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great, actually. I had a wonderful trip. Never better. I'm actually really, really ready to write that second letter now.
You sure? Because it looks like you've been crying.
What? No, I'm not crying. It was rain on my face.
Was it raining earlier?
Yeah, you missed it. Anyway, apparently, since I was such a jerk in the first one, I'm going to start with a compliment. Saved people smell better.
What?
We smell better?
Yeah. Yeah, but only because unsaved people smell like death because of how they're going to die forever.
Okay, just feels like more of a dig than anything else.
Yeah.
Ooh, and also, anyone who doesn't accept Jesus, or like my first letter, their minds were blinded by God. When you love Jesus, you're unblinded.
Unblinded, yeah.
Yeah, because salvation is hidden to those who can't see it. It's like treasure in an earthen vessel, you know? We don't look at stuff you can see as Christians. We look at stuff you can't see.
Hey, bud, I'm going to stop you right there. Does this end with clothes that only the emperor can see?
No.
Way too long a pause.
Okay, let's see. Jesus is awesome. Walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah, Widow, you cover that in the last part.
Jesus is awesome.
Yeah, the last word you said.
Okay, but this, when you love Jesus, your bowels are straight.
Sorry, what?
Yep, you're like a tube down there. Everything just right through.
But I'm going to mark that one down as a metaphor.
A metaphor for what?
I don't know, man. I do not fucking know.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
We were thinking you might want to address, you know, the vibes.
What vibes?
They're bad, man.
What? No, they're not.
They are, though.
I mean, even mentioning it right now, it's bad.
No, it's not. These are great vibes. You guys are messing up the vibes. By mentioning it is why it's bad.
Are we?
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. I'm going to say I made you guys sad with my letter. And I'm not sorry, even though I said I was sorry.
Not a great start.
Let me finish. But because you were sorry for God in a godly way, you actually weren't hurt.
Your message is that they weren't hurt.
Exactly. They were sorry with zeal and revenge. So if you think about it, my letter actually made you happy and you're welcome.
Great.
Okay. Look, I admit things got a little tense and then I might have said that they were welcome for what I said, but now I'm going to do a section about charity.
Okay. Charity is good.
That's right. It is good. I'm going to say, give to those in need. And if you're in need, take what others give.
That's okay, I guess. Yeah.
And how about this? Yeah. Give with a glad heart.
I mean, not really relevant.
Because when we're all equal, we're all prepared to take revenge on anyone who would disobey Jesus.
Oh, here we go.
And even though people say I'm a nice person and I won't, do stuff in person, like I write letters, but then I'll fucking kick your asses. I'll kick your asses.
We were so close.
Were we?
Okay. Guys, I got to talk about the super apostles.
Who are the super apostles?
Oh my God. Did I not tell you guys what happened on my trip?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay. Guys, listen to this. All right, everybody. You are saved.
Thanks a bunch, Paul.
Yeah. We really appreciate
it. No problem, everybody. We'll see you around. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, you guys just get told about Jesus by Paul?
Sure did.
Oh, yeah. We were so happy
to
be saved.
I bet. He told you to get circumcised, right?
Oh, no, I thought we weren't doing that anymore.
Oh, yeah, no, new rule. We're doing that again.
Huh. Well, how do we know you aren't just making it up and changing stuff on us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't Paul just come by and change stuff?
Yeah, I guess he did.
Well, so that's what I'm doing. Plus, loquacious.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, nothing. Just using big words and talking fancy is all.
You know what? Let's cut the tips of our dicks off.
You know, I was just thinking that.
Nice. Loquacious.
Loquacious.
So some charlatans came by and have been using the fact that you're changing the religion to change the religion?
I know, right? Can you believe that? It's so bad.
Right, but you see how that's caused by you coming along and changing the religion, right?
No, I do not see that. But don't worry, because I've got a solution.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Okay, so I'm going to tell them to ignore the super apostles.
You should probably stop calling them that.
But I'm going to do it sarcastically.
I'm sorry, you're going to write a part of the Bible sarcastically?
Yeah. For the middle chunk of this letter, I'm going to be like, I might not be as good a talker as them, but I'm definitely not as good as lying.
Okay. So, for the record, I don't think any part of a book we'd like to be the final truth of the universe should be sarcastic. But if they just came by and changed what you said, isn't saying they're better than you.
Sarcastically, I'm saying sarcastically. You missed that part. I'm just doing sarcastically.
Even sarcastically, isn't that a terrible idea?
Okay. What if I do a not at the end?
Not better, man.
Like, not.
No, we get it.
Not. Okay. Guys, I figured it out. I could tell you didn't really like the not idea. So I'm going to show a little empathy.
Yes.
Oh, totally agree.
Yeah. Okay. So how's this, guys? I totally understand how hard it can be to be a good Christian. After all, God put this thorn in me so Satan would always have a hold on me.
What? Thorn?
Yeah. And then I asked God. I was like, please take this secret dark, terrible thing away from me. And God was like, no, my grace is enough.
Dude?
Yeah, no, when I was sitting in prison and I was beaten and whipped and all I could wish for was my freedom from my thorn, right? The evil secret of my flesh. But then God was like, no, it will never, ever, ever leave you.
Huh.
You guys get all that?
Yep. Yep, got it.
Hey, what the fuck was that I just acted out?
I mean, he's gay.
Okay, guys, he's not necessarily gay.
I mean, he sounds pretty gay to me.
Super gay.
Okay, but look, a lot of biblical scholars do interpret Paul's thorn as homosexuality, and that does make his weird anti-gay rant in the last letter make more sense, I guess.
Plus, he had that weird thing about how nobody should get married.
Ooh, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, but it could be anything, right? Like, he could be, like, putting stuff in his wiener hole. And it's worth pointing out that, like, a lot of homophobes throughout history have used Paul's thorn as proof that you don't have to be gay or, like, you know, that you can stop yourself from being gay. So as fun as it is to call Paul gay, we should probably, like, responsibly acknowledge that we don't know what Paul's thorn was. And if it was being gay, like, then, you know, obviously there's nothing wrong with that.
Right, that's fair.
Yeah. It's gay, though, right?
Oh, my God. Totally gay.
It's super gay.
Yeah, super gay.
Thank you. In conclusion.
Oh, wow. Short letter.
Yeah. I am coming to visit you for a third time. And I would like you to be sure that you are all properly contrite for when I visit. You will know if you are or if you aren't. Because if you are, Jesus is in you.
Weird vibe.
Finally.
You already said it in conclusion.
Be.
Go ahead.
Perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind.
How?
Live in peace.
Uh-huh.
And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss.
Where are we just talking about?
All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen to my letter.
Truly a bizarre ending.
P.S. I'm gay.
Knew it.
And with that reminder of just how much of the perfect word of God is made up of bitchy correspondence, we'll wrap up another installment of
Bible Peace Theater.
Before we force this toothpaste back in, I want to let you know about an exciting project coming to us from our friend Daryl Ray of Recovering from Religion. It's called the Institute for Secular Leadership, and the goal here is to give those interested in leading secular communities the tools and information that they're going to need to get it done. We're going to have a link in the show notes if you're interested in learning more. Anyway, that's all the blasphemy we've got for you tonight. We'll be back in 10,022 minutes with more. If you can't wait that long, be on the lookout for a brand new episode of our D&D Actual Play Podcast, D&D Minus, debuting at 7 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, a newer episode of our sister show, The Skeptic Rite, debuting at 7 Eastern on Monday, an even newer episode of our sister show's Hot Friend God Awful Movies debuting at 7 Eastern on Tuesday, and an even newer episode of our half-sister show Citation Needed debuting at noon Eastern on Wednesday. Obviously, this show would wither on the vine if I neglected to thank Ethan Wright for being the best, Eli Bosnick for also being the best, and Lucinda Illusions for being even better than that. I also want to thank Don Ford for helping out today. Kind of unfortunate that he had to follow Lucinda in the Best Better series, because, you know, Don's great, but great sounds pretty subpar. Coming after better than the best. Of course, as our favorite listener, April Poff, pointed out the other day when we were playing VR golf, subpar is the fucking goal, right? Oh, also want to thank Julie in Memphis for providing this week's Farnsworth quote. Hope those guys survive their harrowing mission of fucking acquiring some Debbie cakes or whatever. But most of all, of course, I want to thank this week's and last week's best people, Morton Vetinari for America, Blue Cheese is Moldy Cheese, Edward, Helen, Daniel, Judd, Dumbledong, Logan, Robert, Heather, James, Richard, Anthony, Chasing Rabbits, Aaron, Feathersnow, Marco, Glenn from Eight Land, Mike, and Terlin, who are so eminently complimentable that I couldn't even fit all their compliments into a single calendar year. Together, these 21 people, characters, campaign slogans, and blasphemies against cheese that
Keith is only letting you get away with because he doesn't listen to the outro, help keep us going for another year by giving us money. If you, too, would like to get away with some shit, you know, or possibly challenge previous patrons on the deliciousness of blue cheese with your patron name, you can make a per-episode donation at patreon.com/scathingatheist, whereby you'll earn early access to an extended ad-free version of every episode, or you can make a one-time donation by clicking on the donate button on the right side of the homepage at scathingatheist.com. And look, I admit that fucking blue cheese is moldy cheese, but all cheese is moldy cheese. That's what cheese is. Anyway, if you'd like to help, but not in a money sort of way, you can also help a ton by leaving us a 5-star review, telling a friend about the show, and following us on social media. And speaking of social media, Tim Roberson handles that for us, and our audio engineer is Morgan Clark, who also wrote all the music that was used in this episode, which was used with permission. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. Swoosh.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, wait. No, this is a beep, isn't it? You're trying to swoosh out of a fucking beep?
I'm trying to swoop out of a beep.
Jesus Christ.
That was so close.
That would just be
turn this inside out.
Are you ever coming
out? Never end.
Holy fuck.
Never out of the podcast.
Kill you.
Yeah. So,
Don can't go home.
Beep. Beep. Morgan.
Jesus
very important.
Christ.
This content is scanned credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm to their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org. This podcast is a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm LLC and was created without the use of generative AI. Its contents may not be used for AI training. Copyright 2026, all rights reserved.